Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the AB AAK Press and Analysis Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until we conduct a question and answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you that this conference call is being recorded today. I'd now like to hand over to Chairperson today, Mr. Arne Frank, CEO. Please begin your meeting, sir, and I'll be standing by.
Thank you. Hello, everybody, and very welcome to the AAK Q1 conf call. I'm sitting here in a sunny Malmö, southern Sweden, together with our CFO, Anders Byström, and Head of Investor Relations, Fredrik Nilsson, and very happy to see all of you taking your time and listen to us. We are happy to come here to you with another good quarterly report. What we are proposing is following our standard model. We propose that we talk you through the performance. We go into each business area a little bit. We go through the status of AAK Acceleration. We comment a few other major events. From that, we are also open for some Q&A by the end of this meeting. I suspect the presentation will take, roughly speaking, 30 minutes or something like that. From that, we have ample time for Q&A. With those words, we dive into the material. We jump immediately to page number 3 in the PowerPoint pack. Here we are very happy to announce a volume growth of 7%. Net sales came in strongly, driven by a number of factors, Louisville, raw material prices, product mix, and so forth. No surprises. Small positive currency effect. What is particularly satisfying is a record high operating profit for a Q1 with an improvement of 8%, reaching 220 million SEK. What we do understand, this is spot on or marginally above the market consensus, so we were happy to see that also. Particularly encouraging is to see the performance of our Food Ingredients business area, which came in with 137 million SEK, an improvement by 32%. Here we should, however, be clear, a little bit more than a third of this improvement comes from the Golden Food, Golden Brand acquisition, now called AAK Louisville, and we will comment that a little bit more later on. The Chocolate Confectionery Fats business area, stable, 81 million SEK, same as last year, and we have more details on that further on. Technical Products and Feed, we were happy to see exceed the market expectations, but it's still very challenging. As predicted, a little bit less challenging than before, but it will take time until it's back in good old shape, but that day will come. We can conclude, if I remember correctly, that Q1 2012 is equal to Q1 2010, which is significant progress from where we were one and two quarters ago. Operating profit per kilo continued to improve to 0.6. Very satisfactory, and we already had the feedback this morning. We could have highlighted this a little bit more in our communications, maybe. Mr. Byström is ready to develop on it, but a record high cash flow of 384 million SEK. However, the reason we did not communicate so much on it is partly that a big part of this is pure mathematical effect. As you know, we hedge all transactions back to back. we had some cash flow issues in Q1, Q2, 2011. And then we always said this is mathematical. It will come back in Q4 and Q1 2012. And so it did. And that is what we are seeing here. But nevertheless, it's very good to see it in a tangible format. Earnings per share increased from 3.38 to 3.43, despite higher interest costs. So that's also very encouraging. That's the main picture. With these words, a few more details, page four. I leave the microphone to Mr. Byström.
Thank you, Arne. If we continue on page four, we have the traditional diagrams, which is important when you follow AAK. Let's start with the volume for the group, which is stable, but actually comprising in the first quarter a significant improvement in volume by 7%, and that in turn includes a significant volume increase for food ingredients of 12%. Operating profit at 220, record high for the first quarter, and the rolling 12 months are gradually improving following that. Operating profit per kilogram, quite stable and slightly improving, now up to 0.60, up 2% on the quarterly basis. And that's also very satisfying. On page five, we have the RONA diagram. We've added, apart from the rolling 12 months, which you see in blue, at 13, almost 13.0, but you also see a quarterly diagram where you see that the improvements are starting to take place now, and which, of course, over the coming quarters will improve the rolling 12 months. Then we have the net debt divided by EBITDA, and it's very satisfying that we are now down to 2.21 compared to 2.44 at the end of the year. So that's very strong developments so far.
Thank you, Mr. Byström. Page six, some more details on food ingredients. As we mentioned, up 32% from 104 to 137. And with a remarkable improvement in EBIT per kilo from 0.54 to 0.63. Always the question, what's the target? Always the answer, we don't want to limit ourselves with a target. We believe in continuous improvement, and it's very difficult to say where will we max out, but we still believe we can improve. A volume increase by 12%. And here we say like for like, maybe we should put like for like in brackets, because when we say like for like, we take out the Louisville volumes, but we also take out the UK recalibration of the business. And if we take those two out, volumes are up 1%, which is encouraging, given the world economy and so forth. And AAK still limited presence in particularly Asia. Behind this very good evolution is a very good global evolution in all our bakery products, very good evolution in dairy fat alternatives, and in both cases we speak no trans, low sat, and attractive cost value propositions also. AAK is, as you know, riding on the health trends, but also in recessionary times, consumers are more and more consuming low-cost products. We saw a survey recently conducted in Sweden and some other Western European countries, where already today between 30 and 40% of consumers who would walk into a supermarket already today choose the lowest cost product when they go into a supermarket. And AAK is promoting high quality products with no trans, low sat, the health trend, but very often the AAK alternative is also more attractive from a cost point of view. Our infant nutrition business, this very specific segment, is also developing very, very nicely. So here you see the most euphoric guidance I have seen AAK give. We normally want to be perceived and interpreted as stable and prudent and slightly optimistic. But here you see the euphoric comment on we remain clearly optimistic for the future, mainly driven by this business area, food ingredients. I believe it's the most euphoric sentence I have seen from AAK. But this is looking good. A slide on Louisville. As you saw in some other communication back in December and January, related to totally different subjects, we communicated that Louisville was doing fine, record highs in both production and sales and productivity, and that has continued. So our U.S. team is doing a really good job with the Louisville integration, and the people in Louisville are doing a really good job, and this is continuing to develop according or slightly ahead of plan. And guidance, we have guided what is the historical volume in Louisville, and we have always said that EBIT per kilo is roughly in line with the equivalent business in other parts of AAK. This is mainly reported in our bakery segment in food ingredients. If we go to page 8 and the operating profit per quarter or rolling 12, you see a continued solid performance. We are not giving any guidance what is the future on this, but we hope to continue little by little in a stable way to evolve. And the same comment on EBIT per kilo, which is a really nice graph with a Q1 that is by far the best Q1 we've ever had. So we're very happy for this. I go to page 9, which is a much more challenging picture. Fortunately, a smaller business area. So we believe the net-net of all this is positive. We gave, after Q4, some guidance on CCF, and we talked about stable. Now you see what we mean when we say stable. Operating result, 81 million, same as last year. Operating profit per kilo, 103, same as last year. And volumes were also very much exactly the same as last year. So next time Mr. Nilsson is saying stable, you know what he means. Maybe this was more sharp on than we had expected ourselves also. But on a more serious note, you have seen the cocoa butter price curves as an appendix, an attachment in every quarterly report. We are here highlighting even more explicit that the continued record low cocoa butter price, which is minus approximately 30 to 40% versus the last few years, is of course representing a clear challenge for this business in the short to medium term. We want in connection to this also to highlight that the management for this business area have done a fantastic job in diversifying the business, in pushing for all the products that a chocolate confectionery manufacturer need and uses, and not only CBE. And the management of the CCF business area has also very successfully diversified this business into more of a solution approach and focused more strongly on the dimension of customer co-development. So our comment here is that we expect this business area to remain approximately stable to somewhat challenged during the next few quarters. We turn page, and here you see this in terms of graphs in operating profit and operating profit per kilo. I believe I have commented all of that. I propose we move to page 11. We have the smallest business area, Technical Products and Feed. Here we understand today that we have surpassed market expectations, but those expectations were modest. Operating profit 25 million, still down 36% compared to last year. Volumes down 1%, mainly on the very industrial side on technical fatty acids. Underlying trends still very challenging, but slightly less challenging than during the third and fourth quarter 2011. We remain with the comment that we believe that the next quarter to the next quarters will continue to be challenging, but the situation is expected to gradually improve somewhat during the third and the fourth quarter. A lot of activity going on. The management team here is doing a really good job to address the challenges, and we see a lot of good activity. If we study the graph, we can see the encouraging sign, as I just mentioned, that Q1  2012 is in fact same as Q1 2010. That does not mean that Q2, Q3, Q4 2012 will be same as 2010. Absolutely not. But we are starting to see the light in the tunnel, and lots of activity going on, but again, next quarter or quarters will definitively be very challenging. With those words, I pass back the microphone to Mr. Byström to talk about our cash flow.
Thank you. If we turn to page 12, I'd like to recap and restate the record high cash flow for the quarter, which we very much appreciate. We had the cash flow from operating activities, including changes in working capital, of 384. We had a positive change in working capital of 193, and it's primarily a lower inventory effect. As Arne mentioned before, a major part of this, we already kind of guided the market during the earlier reports as a mathematical consequence of the improvements, and now we can see it in the actual numbers, and I think that's very satisfying. I will come back with some additional comments on the next page. Before we turn to the next page, I'd like to also emphasize the investments, 107, slightly higher than last year, and that is mainly due to the completion of the U.S. investment and capacity increase that we have announced and talked about before. Now that is fully installed and commissioned. On page 13, you can see that the raw material prices, primarily, it's actually the palm prices that have increased during the last quarter or the last 6 months by 10%-15%. And that should have a negative impact, which will come late 2012 or into 2013. We will have, and we have already taken the major part of the positive 250 impact coming from earlier periods indicated in the picture there. But we believe that on the second quarter, I think we, in view of the dividend, which will be paid in May, should expect a relatively stable net debt.
Thank you, Mr. Byström. So what you are saying is another good cash flow, maybe not this good, but good in Q2, but then there is the dividend to be paid.
That's right.
Thank you. Page 14, how is the business doing from a geographical point of view? And this was new, I believe, in our Q4 report. So a lot of these is Food Ingredients, as that is our biggest business area, but it's also including TPF and CCF. So US is continue to do very good. We are doing really very, very good in Latin America. The UK challenge continue, and all our actions are also continuing according to announced plans. In the Nordic countries, even if we have a high market share and so forth, the business is developing very nicely, and we get also here good leverage for both our health value propositions and our cost value propositions. Our business in Western Europe is, Western Europe excluding UK, is relatively small. We have a number of very prestigious international customers, but limited more local business. Here the business is stable, maybe slightly growing. Central Europe and former Soviet Union, relatively stable situation with a relatively big CCF portion. China, small. I must unfortunately admit that this way to graphically present our business is somehow flattering to the Chinese business. I do not believe the size of the arrows are totally proportionally representative, but our limited Chinese business is developing according to plans. We are establishing our organization. The organization is growing. The number of distributors is growing and so forth, so all that is going on nicely, and our local Chinese team is doing a very good job, and basically same comments concerning our business in Southeast Asia, and that is of course still very high on our agenda to grow our business in this part of the world. Page 15, 16 and 17 quite quickly, we would call these pages other Q1 main events. So we have announced that our production facility for InFat, in line with what is said on this page, we are expanding production capacity. Both the InFat and the other infant nutrition products, this business is developing nicely, and we need to adapt our facility. This is, though, I want also to say, not representing any massive major capex, but it's an important strategic move, and that's why we mention it. Page 16, CSR, the sustainability subjects, is of course in our industry very critical, very important. We take these subjects very seriously. It's high on the agenda. We want to be the leading company concerning CSR in our industry, and we are very happy to announce a dramatically increased activity in Burkina Faso, where we have announced that we triple our work with microcredits, local women group, and. We have received a lot of good positive attention for this work, and this is good for the country and the population in this country, but it's in fact also very good for AAK. It helps us assure competitive cheese supply, and it also improves in fact the quality of the raw material we are insourcing to our business. Page 17, AAK acceleration. And we try to every quarter disclose a little bit more. And you see at the bottom of the page a new color symbol coding, where green smiley is ahead of plan, yellow smiley is slightly ahead of plan, neutral smiley looks kind of half negative, but I want to underline that means on plan. And plan is the internal plan. It is not the things we communicate externally and so forth. And red is, of course, behind plan. Bakery, as I commented, doing very, very nice. And the KPI here we disclose is, as always, kind of a mixed bundle KPI, bundling together our result KPIs and our leading indicators, what we call work KPIs. Bakery, really successful. Dairy fat alternatives, also ahead of plan. Chocolate, not without challenges, as we have talked. Infant nutrition, really successful. Food service, please note, has now for the first time since long time moved from red to neutral yellow. So lots of good activities going on here, lots of good work from the teams in the food service organizations, and some small results coming, but still more needed to be done. But according to our internal plans, China has commented according to our internal plans, and Brazil maybe even a little bit ahead of our internal plans. Purchasing and productivity, totally according to our internal plans. Our activities on the people side may it be a more proactive, more solution-oriented sales approach. May it be on the HR side and other subjects of that sort, ahead or slightly ahead of plan on all dimensions. And with this, we are approaching the end of this presentation, half an hour as predicted. And the comment here is slightly more extensive than previous quarters. We first say that the impact on our industry from the more difficult general economy in Europe or Western and Southern Europe is very difficult to predict. We are, of course, much less cyclical than many other businesses, many other industries, but we are not totally uncyclical, definitely not. And the more low income takers in the developed world come under pressure, the more they will down trade in their consumption, which is not good for the volume, but in fact, in a way, it's good for AAK because then our cost-value propositions come even more into play. But based on our customer value propositions for health, no trans, low sat, and so forth, reduced cost, I just commented, a stronger focus that we started already 2 years ago, same speciality strategy, we talk more about semi-speciality, but 2 years ago we decided to really focus much stronger on the customer product co-development, the customer co-development of new products, and a more of a solutions approach. And this was more formalized when we launched AAK Acceleration a bit more than 1 year ago. So based on this and the whole AAK Acceleration program with growth, efficiency, people, and so forth, we are remaining prudently optimistic for the future, driven by a very strong food ingredients business. That is our final comment on the situation. And then I always say, please notice, there is always a few things going slightly better than expected, and there is always in a larger business a few things going slightly less good than expected, and hopefully net-net of all that is slightly positive. So, we remain prudently optimistic for the future. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and now we open up for some questions and answers, and we will try to answer those.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, you can press the hash or pound key. So once again, it's star followed by one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. And our first question comes from Bill Dahl. Please go ahead with your question.
Thanks. I have a couple of questions, and maybe we could start off with CCF. If you just could elaborate a little bit more about the cocoa butter dynamics and then what's going on in the market.
Hello, Bill. Thank you for your question. Thank you for participating, and thank you for your question. It's a very, very good question. And you can see in the attachments, I believe there is the Cocoa Butter Prize in a 12-year perspective, both in Swedish pesetas and in US dollars. And your question is a really key one, and I wish I was able to answer it. We have definitely spent a lot of time trying to have the answer to the question. I wish there was anyone in the world who was able to give a clear answer to what is going on here. But the experts, the so-called experts, they have they also struggle to come with some clear predictions and analyses and so forth. We know that cocoa beans, they do not show this evolution. We know that cocoa powder does not show this evolution. In fact, both beans and the powder shows a very different evolution. So, and then we can also see that we have seen this low price in the early 2000s. So, I struggle to comment. Some people would speculate that powder used to be the residual product when you were crushing the beans. And some people would say because of certain consumption patterns, powder is more into demand. But it's speculations. What we do know is that beans are increasing. What we do know is that the old fundamentals we always talked, that it takes 7 years between you plant a new tree and you have any harvest of any importance. We do know that the demographics of the cocoa trees in the world is not encouraging reading, and we do know that the replanting of trees is not satisfactory in a more and more impatient world to do investments where you have decent harvest after 7 years is very often not a very attractive proposition for many. So long term, the world is running into scarcity of cocoa. But short term, difficult to say.
Okay, so there's nothing apparent in terms of inventory destocking in cocoa, but it's nothing that you could put your finger on in terms of the pricing, I assume.
No, Bila, it's Anders here. No, I don't think we have any information of that kind.
Okay. And then secondly, more of a transparency point of view, why did you exclude the gross contribution numbers for the respective divisions?
I'm the one to blame here. We had gross contribution per division, and we have the ambition to disclose something new every quarter, basically, be little by little less secretive. But when I found out and had time to contemplate that we're disclosing gross contribution per business area, my initial reaction was, does large public companies do this? And then I checked a few other large public companies in totally different industries, and I didn't find anyone doing it. So I told Mr. Boström, please go on doing this if you can find one more public company doing it. But if you don't, this particularly one or two of our businesses are so specific that we are giving competition very interesting information when we are disclosing it. And if that can be avoided, that is good for everybody. So it's me to blame, Bila, and I say the same to you. If you can find any other large public company disclosing gross contribution per business area on a quarterly basis, then please show it to me and we will pick it up again.
Okay, fair enough. And then a sort of a more of a long-term related question about your ambition, AAK acceleration, the 400 million that you target in productivity gains. Obviously, that's a proportion of the earnings growth that you can monitor. But is that dependent on volume growth in general, or is that something that you could be extracting irrespective of the market dynamics?
The productivity, I think we have developed a lot on the productivity. Then we have absorbed a very important negative FX translation over this time. We have also invested more in customer co-development, both in FI and in CCF. And I would say the productivity gains, I don't see that being so very dynamic. There are, of course, some mixed correlation to what productivity gains we can do, both in terms of product and geography, but basically that is something that is not changing that much.
Okay, thanks. And then a question on food services. Should we interpret that as that the situation in UK is in control? I assume that the UK accounts for a relatively high share of your food services business.
Yeah, food service is definitively somehow cyclical because, as you know, food service services the public sector canteens and the entire restaurant sector from quick service restaurants and up. And the restaurant sector is cyclical, as we know, and UK is a large part of our current food service business, as we have talked about, and that is starting to improve a little bit. I'm not sure the market is improving, but I believe we are improving a little bit, yes.
And then finally, a more of a technical accounting question. Did you record any goodwill arising from the AAK Louisville acquisition?
Yes, we did.
And is that, what's the tax shield? Because you can deduct some taxes on that since it was acquired in the UK, US, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Could you quantify on, just give us a rough figure on the difference in tax paid versus tax reported? How we should model the cash flow, so to say, versus the earnings?
I mean, the corporate tax in the U.S. is in the range of 40%, as you know. So I don't think we should give any more detailed guidance than that. And the Swedish, you know, is, or the average for the group is, it's more like the 26 to 27, depending on exactly where we generate the income in the combination with the impact of currencies.
All right. Okay, thanks. Thanks for the question.
Very good. Thank you, Bilen.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Per Jorgensen. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello. This is Per Jorgensen. Hello, gentlemen. And very congratulations with the results. Can you hear me?
Hello, Mr. Jorgensen.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay,
thank
great.
Thank you for your nice words.
Well, no problem. A few questions, if I may. If we look at the FI comments on the page 6 on the food ingredients, just to clarify a few things, you said the like-for-like volume is plus 1%, and that is excluding also the UK change. Is that correct? Understood?
Absolutely, Mr. Jorgensen. Like for like, we take out the acquired Louisville activity.
Yeah.
And then I say like for like within brackets because UK is not a disposal. It's not a spin-off. But the retooling of the strategy is of such dimensions that when we look upon volumes, we could nearly look upon it as a partial disposal.
Yeah, okay, so it's fair to say that it's now we are seeing the starting to see the underlying volume growth in the speciality, the change to speciality.
You could say so, because we said the UK retooling is something that would hit the comp numbers. We always said Q3, Q4, 2011, Q1, Q2, 2012.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, thank you. On the baby foods business, we can see that there's some consolidation going on also in relation to the Asian market. Does that change anything in your strategy, maybe to accelerate your products towards the producers of infant nutrition even further than we can see this production capacity coming in Karlsheim?
Thank you, Mr. Jørgensen. We've had these questions or versions of it before.
Okay.
And our comment to the big move in the industry recently is this positive or what is it to AAK? I say neutral to slightly positive. I don't see that this changes anything in our strategy. I don't expect it to influence our business very much, neither in a positive direction nor a negative direction. You could also say that it's a confirmation that we have decided to focus a very interesting business area to be in, of course. But if I'm a little bit arrogant after all, I would tend to say we knew that already. No, I think it's neutral. We continue to do our thing, and we believe that will be equally easy or equally challenging, no matter what. It would maybe be looked upon as another strong encouragement to AAK to get our act together and make sure we grow our business in China a little bit faster.
So you're not? Are you thinking about accelerating your exposure to the baby food business, because of this? But
if I go back to be humble again, I would say it's another clear signal that we must get our act together and
yeah.
increase our footprint in Asia. But we have a strong focus on infant nutrition, and this is important to us.
Okay. Then a last question regarding the TPF business. I can see from the annual report that you are talking about consolidation in the glycerol market and some other interesting parts of the TPF business, and you state that you are a market leader in the Nordic area. Do you expect to see any further development for you in that area on the, let's say, the more interesting part of the TPF business because of this consolidation?
The TPF business consists of three or four parts. It's the technical fatty acids. That's the residual product from our crushing activity in Karlshamn.
Mm-hmm.
It is Binol, the green, environmental friendly lubricants.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the feed business, which is also a residual business from our crusher in Karlshamn. We also in feed include the crusher as such, even if the crusher only has internal customers. The consolidation is that some players are becoming bigger and bigger here. But this business area, it will come back, it will improve, it will take time, but it will never be a big locomotive in AAK.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes get the question, so is this non-core business? Then I say, no, it is core business. This business is, I know, Mr. Jørgensen, you're probably in the beautiful part of eastern Denmark called Jutland.
Precisely.
So you know when I say the following, that this business is a little bit that the good Danish butcher who knows to sell all the parts of the cow to a good price. You know what I talk about.
Yep.
This means that this business is a necessity when you are into crushing, and we are into crushing in some of our sites. But it's not the business that will be the big locomotive for our big improvement over a longer period of time.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
But it's an important business, and there is strong focus, and the teams are very mobilized to continue to improve it, I would say also. Thank you, Mr. Jorgensen.
Our next question comes line of Patrick Setterberg. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello, Patrick Setterberg from Nordea Markets. Two questions. The first one is regarding your short-term outlook within the food ingredients division. You are becoming more positive in the wording about the outlook. And I'm just wondering, why have you become more positive? And secondly, what in the underlying market is supporting your new view?
Thank you, Mr. Setterberg. I believe you see improvements that are of an important magnitude. Not saying that we can continue to have that degree of improvement every quarter or every year. Of course we cannot. But our strategy, our speciality strategy as we called it some years ago, we now talk more and more, as you know, about semi-speciality, and a strong focus in terms of proactivity, follow-up, but also resources all over the globe in customer co-development. This activity we strengthened already 2 years ago, and we have a stronger focus rolled out a bit more than a year ago. But this business, in average, you have a lead time, as we have discussed on these calls before, of roughly speaking, average 2 years. From an idea, together with a customer, to a decided project, to a developed project, including shelf life as an important dimension in this industry, you speak about 2 years. And that means, and we have followed this, and we monitor it, and we manage it carefully. And now, when we are sitting here in May 2012, we have enough perspective on our first initiatives with this accelerated and adapted strategy. And with that, we dare to sound slightly more euphoric than before. To be very euphoric is not so much part of our DNA, I must say, but you notice a more positive language. On the other hand, you notice also a little bit more negative language on CCF, I must say, and with the cocoa butter prices, as we just discussed, and they are very difficult to analyze, and they are very difficult to predict, but there is no sign of an immediate improvement on that side. So, yes, we are more positive on FI, but we also want to say that on the total picture, we are keeping exactly the same prudent, optimistic approach to life as you've heard us now for many quarters.
Okay. Just to understand these, you can say, near-term outlook comments you're giving, both of food ingredients, where you are seeing very strong business environment, and also within the CCF division, where you have somewhat more challenged quarters ahead of you. Should we look at from a volume perspective, or a EBIT perspective, or a EBIT per kilo perspective?
Mr. Setterberg, we admire your consistency and your persistency, but Mr. Byström helped me out here. But I would say, look upon it as EBIT comments. Beyond that would be starting to give forecasts that, you know, AAK never do, no matter how much pressure you put on it.
Okay, that was very useful. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes line of Daniel Schmidt. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon. Just some questions on
the Golden Foods plant in Louisville, and how does sort of this plant stack up versus the group average? Could you say, give us some more information in terms of the development since you took it over, in terms of capacity utilization as we stand right now, service level, and also potential sort of top-line synergies that you've seen, given the fact that you have continental reach now in North America, which is standing out compared to competition. Thank you.
Yeah, many thank you, Daniel. Many questions. We announced that this was interesting because of these famous flaked shortenings that you have in our little PowerPoint presentation, and you know what that gives in terms of characteristics of the end product, and that was something that would be useful for the AAK bakery team. The AAK Louisville bakery team could sell a few products that AAK had that they didn't have. We have now a common bakery team across the continent. Exactly as you mentioned, there are some very big companies out there who would have many factories across the US, but in the specialty and high end of semi-specialty, going from one factory to two kind of made us have twice as many factories as competition. And gave us also a very nice coverage in an important large part of the United States. Then also some operational efficiencies in Louisville. A good, nice family company, but probably the family had contemplated to divest these activities in some time. And in such scenario, it was maybe a little bit slightly under maintained. So also some operational improvement areas possible, and some other things in how we work with Port Newark and Louisville together. So all that is being materialized according to plans, or slightly ahead of plans. And we feel happy and good with this.
Do you feel that you're in the middle of that changing process? Is there more to come in terms of improving the Louisville factory, as you stated, was a little bit under-maintained when you took it over? Are you sort of where you should be now, or could you say something about the time horizon and how we should model it going forward?
When you model it going forward, point one, Louisville is a relatively small part of total AAK. It is not an insignificant part of FI, but it's still a small part of FI. You know, we are an industry that is not an industry of quick fixes. So many things you do take time. So I would say we are less than halfway in the total plans.
Okay.
I would say most of what we want to achieve is a three-year plan for this. And so we are maybe halfway into that or something like that.
Okay, that's good. That's useful. Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions at this time, so I hand the conference back to yourselves.
Okay. We thank you all for listening. We thank you all for your interest. We thank you all for your support. And we hope to see many of you here in the next few days and weeks. And until then, we look forward to seeing you next. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.